Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. It's great to be, to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, thank you very much for that. Steve Martin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's an old friend of ours, a longtime original member of the Brain Trust, and he is the author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization. He's also the president of Business Solutions, The Positive Way, and he's our profit pro here on the Small Business Advocate Show. But most importantly, he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you for having me back. It's always great to be here.
It's good to have you here, as always, and especially since you're the guy who helps us put a couple of extra shekels on the bottom line, you work really hard to do that. And what's on the agenda today, Steve?
Jim, I thought we'd talk about cost of people, and particularly the cost of overtime, which a lot of companies, small and large, pay these days.
You know, I'm glad you want to talk about that. Before we get into overtime, which is going to be something we will talk about quite a bit, I know. Let's talk about the cost of people and your thoughts on how that's changing over the last, say, 10 or so years. Do you think it has changed very much?
There's no doubt that it has changed, Jim. First of all, let me say that people are typically, in most organizations, the most important asset that you can have. And how well you treat your people is going to determine how well your organization does.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we say here for the next half hour or so really has to be based on the fact that you have to protect that asset.
And a lot of people, you know, and it's a multifaceted exercise too, isn't it?
It certainly is, Jim. And you asked about change over the last 10 years. Well, we see, as usual, that there are a lot of shifts in the demands for different skills. And we find that some jobs like computer programmer, which you couldn't get enough people for in the last, you know, 5-6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
now there may be a surplus. So mm-hmm. that really changes the nature of the law of supply and demand, at least in terms of what wages are doing, what you can do to even fill your positions or whatever. But we've also seen changes in terms of the overtime laws.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly here in the United States anyway, there's been a significant change in that. So that makes
a
difference.
There's been a change in that in the last couple of years, actually, hasn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But I was thinking, from a multifaceted standpoint, I was thinking in terms of the human beings involved, the in all of the levels of difficulty, or degree of difficulty, I guess I should say that you have when you're dealing with other human beings, this human being that's working with you, their emotional situation, their energy levels, their skill levels, their need for training, their need for feedback, and all that kind of thing. You've got all of that, and then you've got the business management of it. You've got to make sure that those people are applied the right way and what's best for the company and for them. And then you've got to make sure that they're paid properly and that they're compensated for this year properly and next year properly and all the benefits. It's a multifaceted exercise, Stephen. The reason I'm dwelling on it a little bit is because, sadly, it's the thing that small business owners are the least good at.
Yes, I think you're right, Jim. And one of the reasons they're not good at it, there are two, I think, two big reasons. One is they're not trained in it, so they don't have the skill base. And two, to make it even more difficult, is that it's the most complicated bit of management that you can have.
And we run away from those things, don't we?
Oh, yes. Yep. That's where conflict resides, in the interpersonal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're aware, but some studies have shown that almost 75% of turnover is caused by interpersonal relationships gone bad.
Well, there's no question about it. In fact, as I've reported many times on the show, Steve, survey after survey over the last 30-plus years that I've been listening and hearing about these surveys have been that was one of the main reasons, the human aspect, not the pocketbook aspect, but the human aspect was the top reason why people leave a company.
Oh, yeah. You can have circumstances where you can't throw enough money at people to keep them on board.
And so that's one of the things that we're going to get into, folks. And when we come back after these messages, is how our inability to deal with personnel properly costs us profits, costs us money. And Steve's going to help us with that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Stand by me.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out all the other things there, including our blog and the new book, 3 Minutes to Success, is right there. Steve Martin is our guest. He's the author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization, and we're talking about overtime. Well, actually, we were talking about payroll expense, Steve, which many industries track at maybe as much as 55% of their expenses, don't they?
Oh, yes, Jim. It can range anywhere from a low of maybe 10% labor component to up into the 90% range.
Yeah, but it's always a big one. And but the average is a lot closer to 50% than it is to the upper or the lower. And that means it's a big expense. You know, Steve, if we were paying those kinds of checks for fuel or for raw goods or other things, insurance, we'd be scrutinizing that with a fine-tooth comb, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. And the challenge is that quite often we take the labor component for granted. We just make sure that everybody's here on time doing the job that we have them assigned to do, and the only thing we worry about is filling the vacancies.
Right.
And when we really need to be asking ourselves the questions, do we have the right numbers of people to get the job done? Do we have the right skills? Are our people happy with what they're doing? Oh, my, what a question.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think causes overtime? Is it strictly, when you think of overtime, do you think of opportunity or do you think of mismanagement?
Actually, I look at it from both standpoints, Jim, because you can analyze the situation. If you're paying any overtime at all, you ask yourself, should I be paying any? And the other side of the coin is, am I paying enough?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're running an organization where you're paying zero overtime, I will challenge you that your labor cost is higher than it should be.
Hmm.
Because technically, you may have more people on staff than you really need.
Right.
So if you're one of those people sitting here listening to this show saying, well, I don't pay overtime, this doesn't apply to me, I'm going to challenge you and say, if you don't pay overtime, you may have too many people on your payroll.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the idea that property management folks will tell you, for example, especially multifamily housing, they'll tell you should never be 100% occupied. Because if you are, your prices are too low. You should always be raising your prices. The closer you get to 100% occupancy, you should also always be raising your prices so that you always are 97, 98% occupied. And so what you're saying is it's a similar thing, that if you're paying no overtime, then you probably have too many people.
That's entirely true, Jim, because if there's no demand for extra, the question is, well, how much surplus do I have?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's the old saying, work expands to fill the time allotted.
Right.
In other words, if you give somebody a six-hour job to do in an eight-hour day, they're going to take 8 hours to do it.
Well, it becomes an eight-hour job then.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not their fault. You basically told them that.
That's exactly right. So if you even have just five employees and they're doing six-hour days in eight, mm-hmm. you actually have one too many employees.
But how do you do that? Because with only five employees, for example, you know, those are probably, many of them are disparate jobs. They're different assignments, different disciplines. So you might have to have that many people just to get the disciplines done, just to get the different tasks done.
Well, there's a way to attack that, and that's called cross-training.
Right.
And that is to make sure that you train enough people in different skill sets so they can do more than one job. And that's particularly important in small organizations.
And I'm going to say to that person you just described, I'm not going to tell that person to lay anybody off, to fire anybody. But I am going to say, okay, but over the next year, if your model works, you're going to be growing.
Absolutely.
So rather than hire a part-time person, rather than hire another person full-time, do what you just said, cross-train these other folks so that they can take up the slack.
Absolutely. Just increase the workload, and hopefully you do that in terms of new business.
And maybe even pay some overtime.
Maybe so. And when you find yourself with a chance where you have to make a decision between a part-time employee and overtime, now you know you're pushing up against full utilization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the test, one of the tests for you to determine whether or not you're utilizing your workforce properly.
Right. All right, what's next?
Well, one of the other tests is to talk to your people.
And what? you want me to have a conversation with my people and ask them what they think?
Isn't that something?
What a novel idea, Steve.
What a novel idea.
Did you just come up with that?
Well, I invented it myself, for sure. You think that sometimes, and you go into small businesses or even huge businesses, yeah. and you find that management doesn't talk to the
What do we ask them? What's the first thing we ask them?
Well, how you doing? You know, what's going on? What's on your mind? And if you can establish an open dialogue, then they have the opportunity to feel safe to tell you what's on their mind. And it mm-hmm. might be that, gee, you know, I'd like more work, because some people are bored and they'll tell mm-hmm. you that. Or they'll tell you that, gosh, we need to slow down here too much.
When we come back, we're going to find out some more questions to be asking your employees. And then I'm sure Steve's got at least one other, maybe two other, great ideas on how to hold down our payroll costs and therefore put more money on the bottom line. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Martin is our guest. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Steve Martin is our guest. Steve, give us your website, please.
Jim, it's www.profitpro.us.
Profitpro.us, and tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find tremendous resources for folks interested in improving the profitability of their companies.
And folks, you know that's the truth because you've heard Steve so many times over the years. Steve, you and I are going to be celebrating, God willing, our eighth anniversary together in a couple of months. And the work that you've done with us over the last almost 8 years is just incredible. All the different things he's helped provide us, folks. If you're not going back and listening to some of the management and profitability archives that Steve has deposited with us over the last almost 8 years, you're missing an opportunity, and I hope you'll do that. That's right there on our website. Go to the Brain Trust on the left side of the left column. Click on the Brain Trust link, or if you're doing it now, you'll find Steve in our schedule page or on the blog, and you can get right anytime you find his name, you'll find a link over to all of his archives. All the and I don't I, Steve, there's got to be I don't know how many dozen interviews that you and I've done on these topics, and for all of that, Stephen, for that body of work that you make available to us, so we can make it available for free for our heroes, mine and your heroes, small business owners. We thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome, Jim. It's my pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to share some of this with your audience.
Folks, when you hear me talk about the commitment that our Brain Trust members make to you as a small business owner, that when I'm talking about people like Steve Martin. Steve, what else, when we talk to our customers, I mean, when I talk to our employees, it probably wouldn't be a good idea to go up to them and say, could you do more work? Don't we need to have a little bit? Don't we need to say, you know, hey, folks, we need to increase our productivity about 15%, and I could hire more people, but then what can we do about that? Could you frame it like that?
Well, I've got a generic question that I've used for decades when as a manager and as a consultant. And it's not so blatant, but it really gets to the core of what a good manager should do anyway, and that is to ask the people, what can I do for you? How can I help you do your job better? And if you listen to what they say, you listen carefully and analyze it, they're going to tell you where the efficiencies and the inefficiencies are in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask that question daily. You can't ask it too often, because my view is that a manager's job is to make it easier for other people to do their jobs properly.
Are you saying that they're going to likely to tell you that if they had a more productive piece of technology, that would help them do their jobs?
Absolutely.
And therefore, if they had the technology, I mean, there are a lot of jobs out there that they may be spending 3 hours on. That if they had a $200 piece of technology, or maybe even $1,000, maybe even a $5,000 piece of technology, it doesn't matter. They might be able to do that job in an hour or even 30 minutes and give you back that time. And look what that would do for your operation.
Absolutely, Jim. And they'll probably tell you that, gee, you know, when I do this, that, or the other thing, I have quality problems. You know, I'm right. Getting complaints from the customers, or the product's not coming out well, or, you know, it's causing me issues, and they can point to the problems that exist in the systems, uh-huh. You know, the way you do your business, the machinery, which is the equipment you do your business with, and the technology, of course. And when you know what the problems are, then you have the opportunity to fix them.
Yeah.
Because people do, in fact, want to do a good job.
Do you think that surprises some managers to hear you say that and to try to believe that? Do you think some managers are surprised at that?
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. I think there are probably 10 to 20% of managers out there who take the view that employees are there just to rip the company off.
Or they don't even think about it at all, which is almost as bad.
Almost as bad.
They don't
absolutely
even think
right.
about what the employee thinks about it all. Steve, the book, Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization, they can get that on your website, can't they?
Yes, they can, Jim.
And folks, that's where that book is. What the book is, a lot of the information that Steve and I work off of comes from that book, and I really encourage you to check it out at profitpro.us. Steve, thank you for being here today, as always.
Jim, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
And have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen, that's profitpro.us. The book is Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization, and it is a good one. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back on the other side of the news. We got one more hour after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.